Earth. This hour of America Tonight. If you've tuned in for the first time, welcome. Pull up a chair, sit back. What an hour we have for you. We're going to talk to Dr. Ken Mangus about post-traumatic stress disorder. This will be featured heavily, if you remember, on the soldier who went into the two Afghan villages after suffering from a brain injury and being redeployed yet again. This will be part of his defense upcoming. And also we're going to chat with retired Colonel Steve Bauer about what it was like to work in the White House. He has some interesting stories because he said there's like 18 people on that military duty. And you see all kinds of things when you're trying to get people ready in a receiving line and keep it together when there's dinners at the White House. He ultimately went on to serve for two presidents in procurement, Reagan and Bush one. Speaking of serving, does it serve the people when you have a defendant who has to hide out because there are so many death threats that are pouring in? And this would be the Sunshine State. And of course, the case that we've been talking about for weeks now, George Zimmerman, bailed out late on Sunday, now hiding out, waiting to see when the jury selected and all the other things that have to go into pre-trial motions and whatnot, waiting to see when he comes back to court. So apparently getting permission to leave the state, which is very unusual, but there was so much intense scrutiny over what happened with Trayvon Martin, the 17-year-old who was shot by George Zimmerman, and what now has built up to lots of protests and whatnot, not just in the Orlando area, but all across the state, not Sanford, the town that's just a stone's throw away from Orlando either, by the way. So now that all that's happened, the only way they could agree to bail him out, the judge could agree to that, is also to agree to the fact that he's got to be someplace else because it's just simply not safe. And that's exactly what his attorney, Mark O'Mara, pleaded for last week and ultimately got.
We hope to have some, at least, assistance and security in place just to help protect him.
In what form?
Somebody who can help him get out of a bad situation. Somebody who can help protect him.
All right, so this will play out, probably take a long time to play out. I don't see an end to this trial unless this goes through the motions and gets tossed out quickly. I think that this still will play out and be pretty dramatic over at least the next couple of months. Even money says 9 months or so for all of this to go through the court system. But we'll see. And so probably it's a case of Zimmerman, when he has to go to court, being shuttled back and forth unless there's some kind of video cam feed. But there will be times when he would have to be in the courtroom. This affects all of us, because when you retire, whether you have made a ton of jack or maybe you've made a little bit of money, a modest amount of money, had a good living, lived a clean life, whatever it might be, what happens into your old age should you be lucky and healthy enough to live for however long it is that you get? My grandmother used to say, when you're born, your expiration date is stamped on your forehead. But what about that Social Security check you need and Medicare that help you survive in, who knows, an era where things aren't quite as affordable as they used to be? I think we all knew this was going to happen, but it just becomes even more official when you read the depressing reports. Social Security is split into a couple of funds, as we know, one for retirement and survivor benefits, one for disability, for example. The retirement fund is supposed to run out of money in 2035, do the math. And the disability fund should be dry by 2016. So, you know, we're talking 2012 now. The people who oversee the Social Security are urging Congress to do something about the disability system by reallocating money from the retirement program. That's what they had to do, if you remember, back in the mid-90s. So then you combine those two funds, it'll last till 2033. If they run out, payroll taxes would cover maybe 75%, they think, of the benefits. 75%. So I'd have to say this is troubling, but it's not something that we didn't think was going to happen. And, of course, the other thing is what happens with the president's health care law. Does it squeeze out the full amount of the $500 billion cuts from the program or not? That's if the law, the current law, stands up. If the law is cut down, then that changes that. So there's a lot of uncertainty, obviously, but it's uncertainty that we knew was coming down the pike, because you have to look at the numbers. 56 million retirees, disabled workers, spouses, kids get Social Security. The average retirement benefit, you want to know what that is? The average retirement benefit is $1,232 a month. The average monthly benefit for disabled workers is $1,111 a month. And then you got 50 million people who are covered by Medicare, which is the insurance program we know for older people in the country. But it's very interesting to see. Social Security, we know, is at 6.2% tax on the first 110,000 in wages, and it's paid by the employers and the workers. Congress temporarily booted the tax on workers to 4.2%. Well, I won't get into all the wicked, wild numbers here, but trust me, my friends, if you have a way to make money and whittle away some for your old age, do it. Whatever it is that you end up doing, do it. Do not rely on the government. Do not rely on the government to be there in the end. And I think that we know this when we sit and really think about the numbers and where we're headed in the nation and whatnot. We look at the crazy deficit and all of that. The problem is, you remember how much money that you have put into the program, and you can't help but say, it's just natural. Where's mine? What, are you kidding me? I started paying in, I think I was 15, I had a job. That was my first job. I was teaching tennis for the Cherry Hill, New Jersey Rec Department. I loved it. I loved doing it. And that's when I learned about Social Security and all the money that was ultimately taken out. And all of you have similar stories for various jobs that you've done and how long you've paid in. It's too bad they can't just write us a check and be done with it, because, man, I think I would prefer that. All right, waiting in the wings, we got a couple of interesting guests that I mentioned at the top. So we're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder for one, and then a little bit lighter conversation about some of the cool things that have gone on over the years in the White House from a guy who I think we could close a bar down and talk about all the interesting things that he's learned over the years. You'll enjoy it. That's next here on America Tonight.
This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in. That's almost one per block. Will that one home be yours? Well, I found an amazing little gadget to keep the bad guys fooled, and it's called Fake TV. Fake TV is a low-cost, small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV. When you go on summer vacation, yes, get rid of the obvious signs you're away by stopping the mail and the paper, but go a step further in fooling crooks with Fake TV. At only $34.95, what? That can't be right. Yes, for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked and all your possessions gone. Fake TV simulates the light from a real TV and can be programmed just like a lamp on a timer. Use Fake TV in any room for just $34.95 and get additional Fake TVs for only $29.95. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV, 877-5-FAKE-TV, or go to FakeTV.com. For safety, security, and peace of mind, use Fake TV.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the back. Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, of course, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We've been talking about this a lot, the case against the U.S. soldier accused of killing 16 people in those two Afghan villages. And part of the reason we're also talking about this is because a lot of the soldiers that we talked to about post-traumatic stress syndrome, turns out that the soldier in question who had served, had done a couple of different tours, had actually been in one of those roadside bomb accidents, one of those incidents, and had some trauma to his brain, but was sent again back to Afghanistan. So as this is getting sorted out, you can imagine, and certainly we have taken it apart here on America Tonight, but the attorney, John Henry Brown, who's representing the soldiers, saying that he'd been training to become a military recruiter for three tours of duty in Iraq, but had been ordered to return to Afghanistan almost overnight. We're not going to solve that riddle here, but somebody who knows a lot about post-traumatic stress syndrome, our next guest, who is actually sitting there in our virtual green room right now as I speak, but Dr. Ken Menegas joins us now. And he is a specialist in this area. He's a forensic psychologist and vocational specialist. What it basically means to you and me, he's in the thick of this. He has testified and whatnot and certainly knows PTSDs. Hey, Dr. Ken, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what we're seeing with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Do you think, because you focus so much of your career on this, do you think people are finally catching up and understanding the symptoms and being able to see it, or no, we're still a very long way away from that?
Well, I think that we are becoming more and more familiar with the profile of what happens in a trauma situation, and how it is that that traumatized person can develop symptoms that, and they're called symptoms, a cluster of feelings, activities, behaviors that are identified as post-traumatic stress disorder. Back in 1981, 82, I testified on behalf of a soldier who had returned from Vietnam and had held his congregation hostage with his M14. And it was the first, or one of the first, defenses of a soldier based upon a post-traumatic stress disorder that was held here in the United States. It was in West Virginia. And we were successful in that instance in his defense. In talking about Bailey, the guy who is accused of the killings over in Afghanistan, he too really has a very understandable profile for post-traumatic stress disorder. One of the earlier disclosures had to do with his having been injured, not only having perhaps had a closed head injury from a concussive difficulty, but also having had an injury to his foot, where he had lost some of his foot, or had injured one of his feet. And the day before he had allegedly committed these atrocities, a friend of his, a buddy of his, had also been injured, traumatized, and he had lost his leg. And it's not uncommon for a person who has had their own trauma, like Bailey, to have been re-traumatized by a friend having, in this case, lost a similar body part. So we have Bailey having been re-traumatized by his friend's loss. We had the repetitive times that he had to serve in Afghanistan after Iraq. We had a number of different issues that profiled him as a greater likelihood of having post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow. So PTSD, not to be confused with what I think I said earlier, post-traumatic stress syndrome, because a little bit of a difference there, but with the PTSD, unfortunately, we're seeing more of that with what's happened both in Iraq, the kind of warfare, and Afghanistan. That's what we're talking about here. And I guess the thing is, the military is recognizing that. So, Doc, from your point of view, that has to be a good thing that they're starting to put together the pieces and realizing the seriousness of the treatments that have to happen for a lot of these soldiers that come back, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And part of the military's approach has also been to help prepare that soldier for what he anticipates, and to prepare them by, if you will, inoculating them, not with an actual drug, but rather with preparation about what they can anticipate, so as to reduce the likelihood of having post-traumatic stress disorder. There are obviously a number of different symptoms that people have when they have PTSD, and those include a remembrance of the issue as though, or the incident, the trauma, as though it were reoccurring while it is that they're awake, called the flashback. They have triggers, that is, cues and clues that remind the person of that incident in the past happening again. And that could be a sound, it could be a sight, it could be the location about where it had happened, where the trauma had happened. They can have what's known as a hyperstartle response, that is a very quick response of agitation or fear or upset when it is that they hear a loud noise or are approached from behind, and they're unanticipating that approach. They can also have a hyper alertness. They scan the environment for danger. So there are a collection of things that the symptoms that are known as post-traumatic stress disorder have. And what the military has made an attempt to do is to anticipate those things happening to the soldier and to train them how it is that they can respond differently.
Oh, there you go. And I was going to ask you, too, about the treatment. What are some of the common treatments for people who suffer from this, not just soldiers, but other people who may have this something that triggers this in them? What kind of treatments does somebody get?
Well, it's not uncommon for them to have, and there are different kinds of treatments. Some of them work preferably for some people rather than others. There's a thing called flooding. Flooding means that they re-expose the person to those images, to those conditions, and they so that the person relives them actually in the protection of being with a therapist, so that they repeat the story or repeat the incident, and they talk them down from that feeling of agitation. And that helps with some people. It hurts like crazy for others. It doesn't work at all. Some people need to have a medication. And it turns out, interestingly, that some of the victims of and the survivors of post-traumatic stress disorder have these nightmares. And when they've done a study of the nightmares, the physical contents of the person's blood has a number of chemicals in it, not unlike adrenaline, which we have while we're awake. But while we're asleep, we don't have these same levels of drugs, neurotransmitters in our system, hormones in our system, except if you are a survivor from post-traumatic stress disorder, where you would have that same exact level of hormone in your system. So the people who are suffering from PTSD have this adrenaline, and they're also having a nightmare. It's as though they were awake, only they are asleep. And sleep is a curative factor. So one of the things that helps with post-traumatic stress disorder are medications, and they've tried some high blood pressure medications, which reduce the likelihood of the person having those levels of adrenaline in their system while they're asleep. So medication is another way that they help with people to reduce their agitation, to reduce their nightmares, to reduce their upset physical system.
And let's hope anybody listening, if you feel like you fit into one of these categories for whatever reason that the doc's talking about, please definitely seek some kind of help and get some consultation anyway, so you can look for some of these treatments that would be available to you, because it's certainly not just folks in the military who suffer from PTSD. Dr. Ken Mangus, you were terrific. We just scratched the surface. We'd love to have you back on again. Thank you so much.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Kitty. You take care.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days. And we're the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on healthcare and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
You to our next guest. I'll tell you a little secret. His wife let me in on something. I was going to Washington, as all of you know, for the Supreme Court oral arguments on the Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, as even the president is calling it that now. But I was in D.C., and she said that one of the, after all the years of being in D.C. and living in and around, that the one thing that she thought was the best thing that she had done was take, and it was just recently, was to take the night tour of Washington. So I had no plans to do that. We took her advice, we did it, and it was the best thing, except for it happened to be a chilly night. So we had big DC sweatshirts on, and we were sitting there with cups of hot chocolate, but it was terrific. So without further ado, the other half, Colonel, retired Colonel Steve Bauer, joins us. Colonel, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Glad to be with you, Kate.
All right. One of the things that your wife also told us is that you were the longest-serving military social aide in White House history. Wow, what an honor. How long did that span?
Well, that was 6 years as a social aide, and then I went back and worked as a staff position under Reagan and Bush 41.
Reagan and Bush 41. So did you – what was it like – take us back to the first – the first day you did it, your 6 years, the beginning of your 6 years as the social aide, were you like a fish out of water or nah, you could swim right away?
Well, they thought I could swim, and I probably could have, but the first assignment was really an orientation tour, no specific job, 18 military aides, a state dinner, and it was in honor of Mr. and Mrs. DeWitt Wallace, the founders of the Reader's Digest, and the Ray Conniff Singers were performing that night, but one of their girls was sick, And a Canadian woman named Carol Faraci put herself in the front row, and before the first number began, she reached in her blouse and she pulled out a cloth banner and held it high in front of President and Mrs. Nixon and all the guests, and it said simply, "Stop the killing." Now, this was December of 1971, and so everybody was kind of expecting war protests against the Vietnam War, but nobody was expecting somebody to embarrass the president in his own house. It was quite a beginning to a rather lengthy career.
Yeah, so did you get to know, I mean, even in those 6 years you said Nixon, did you get to know President Nixon and the people around him at all by serving in that capacity?
Well, I did. I talked to him on numerous occasions, and I saw him what was supposed to be publicly, because in all the events that we were at, there was always media invited. They didn't always bother to attend, but most of the time they did. But I saw him quite a bit in semi-private situations, and he was a stiff character around people that he didn't know very well, but it really was a popular defense in Washington to keep people at bay that he didn't know. He didn't want anybody to get too close that he didn't know, but privately he could be very, very funny.
I've heard that from other people. He was pretty quick with a joke.
He was very fast, and when he could relax, as I think most presidents do, you know, they know when they're on the hot seat. They know most of the time when they're in the public eye. They don't always realize when the mic is live, but they do know when everybody is watching, and they tend to be very formal and very presidential, and they tend to relax a little bit when they think other people aren't around.
Yeah. I had the chance to meet President Reagan when I was just a kid. I was out of college and just had gotten into broadcasting and was in California. And he had a big thing for the media at his ranch. And I couldn't believe how personable Ronald Reagan was. Did you find the same thing when you worked in that White House?
I thought he was a very, very regular guy.
Yep.
You know, people criticize him for being detached, but he wasn't detached. He was just above minor details. He gave everybody the broad picture, and he let the staff figure out how to do it. Exactly a contrast to Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Who micromanaged virtually everything, including the attempted rescue of the hostages in the U.S. Embassy in Iran, which cost him the presidency, I suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see, because you, during the Reagan years, you saw some tense times and some celebratory times. Do you remember the whole Mr. Gorbachev tear that wall down? Do you remember what it was like around those times? That had to be pretty, I would think that'd be a pretty exciting atmosphere.
Well, everybody was kind of expecting that the Russians were on the run, and at least at that particular time they were. And it was the president's responsibility to make sure that everybody knew that. And, of course, he knew that, and he took advantage of it, and it worked out very well. The wall didn't fall until George Herbert Walker Bush got in office, but nevertheless, everybody credits, I think, correctly Ronald Reagan with doing it, and it was because we had a strong defense.
Yeah. With the media and the White House, because you would have certainly seen that and been through the ropes there, the media, of course, the job when you cover the White House, as you know, is to get as much information out as possible to beat the other networks. So did you find that the media would try to saddle up to you and try to get little tidbits out of you, Colonel, when you were there?
They always ask questions like, what's going on? What do you see behind the scenes? And you know, it didn't take a very bright aide, and of course we thought pretty bright aides, but it didn't take a very bright one to figure out that you better not answer a question like that, because you'd probably get quoted in the press, and that wouldn't be good for a military career. Everybody that was there and in the capacity that I was in was a military socialite, active duty military officers, and they were obviously there because they're smart and capable, but they wanted to maintain a good career standing, and so they didn't do things that would confuse your military career.
So when you were there for Reagan and for Bush one, Papa Bush, what was the job? What would be a normal day for you? As I say normal, because of course every day is different in the White House. But what would normally be what you would do in your role?
Well, I was a military social aide for Nixon, Ford, and Carter. And I had a staff position in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy under Reagan and Bush 41. And so I didn't see as many social events at all that I saw earlier, but I served as a military social aide under the first three presidents. And that's where I got to interact and go to all of the social functions at the White House and tell people where to stand. Help run the receiving line, and most importantly, dance with little old ladies at the end of the evening.
Did you ever get to dance with any of the president's wives?
I don't recall dancing with the president's wife. I did dance with Susan Ford one time. On one occasion, President Ford had told Susan that Betty wasn't going to make it that evening. She wasn't feeling good. And so Susan said that she would be glad to be the hostess if the president would buy her a new dress. And she wore a red dress that night, and the president went around telling everybody that the dress only cost him $50. but this was, again, this was in the middle 70s, and the band started playing a popular tune at the time known as The Bump, which you would consider, I suppose then, it was kind of a wild dance, but today it'd be pretty tame by today's standards. But nevertheless, we danced the bump, and then afterwards, the Navy aide to the president came over to me when the president cut in on us and took Susan away, and he said, "You know, Major, we don't dance like that at the White House." And so I looked at him, and I thought, "Oh, geez, you know, I've done it now. This is the end of my military social aid career." But I asked him, I said, "Would you like to tell the president's daughter, or shall I?" And he looked at me for a while, and he finally said, "I'd take care of it," but I never heard anything more about it.
How about so on the receiving line, as you said, going through the three different presidents, Nixon, Ford, and Carter, do people get kind of nervous because they didn't really know what you're supposed to do? It's like, you know, in England, how you have to practice that whole curtsy thing. Of course, you're not curtsying to the president and his wife, but then you have the dignitaries, and it depends on what the function is. But did you find that people would get, you know, ask a lot of questions because they weren't really sure what the protocol was?
It did not matter how important somebody was or how accomplished they were in the world, whether it was arts or sports or whatever it happened to be. They were all shell-shocked when the president walked in. Everybody was nervous, even the entertainers. I saw Frank Sinatra nervous. I mean, everybody was nervous. We anticipated everybody being surprised at the appearance of the president, so we had one of the aides that was what we call the setup aide, and before they would walk through the receiving line, the setup aide would remind everybody that they were holding a drink because they would forget it. They were holding a cigarette back when they allowed smoking, and they would forget that they were holding a cigarette. They were so mesmerized by the appearance of the president, the first lady, and a visiting head of state that a lot of them wouldn't realize what was going on. And if we didn't quietly tell them, they wouldn't know. And they could have walked through the receiving line holding a drink, and then, of course, at the last second, they would have realized it was an embarrassment. But that's one of the things that setup aides did, among other things. It took about 18 military social aides to run a state dinner in the White House. And you won't often see them on television because many of them are working in the background, making sure people are standing in the right place and doing the right thing. And, of course, the people appreciate being told where they're supposed to be so that they feel better, you know, more comfortable in doing what they're doing because they know it's the right thing to do because somebody that looks like an official told them.
Yeah, here's what you're supposed to do. Okay, yes, sir, wherever you want me to go, I will go there. I can see that with Frank Sinatra. That's funny. Great tales. We could talk to you this entire show. Retired Colonel Steve Bauer, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have you on again because we haven't even talked about your books. You have a gazillion books, and we'll next time you're on, we'll talk about your books.
This particular book is called At Ease in the White House, and it's available on Amazon if anybody's looking for it.
I love it. Thanks so much, Colonel.
Thank you, Kate.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
For bad boys, including the latest problem with the New Orleans Saints. Wow, they just cannot get away from scandal. And, you know, they sort of became the temporary America's team after all the atrocious things that happened during Hurricane Katrina and how badly people felt. Remember the road to the Super Bowl and what was going on with the Saints, and everybody was pulling for the Saints, and then you find out that they have this massive bounty on teams. Now there's a story that surfaced about the Saints GM and the fact that he was wiretapping, supposedly, opposing coaches. They're denying that he was doing that. But where did this information come from? It seems as though, you know, that smoke and fire thing where there's smoke, maybe there's some fire. ESPN reported that Mickey Loomis, when he was in the booth in the Superdome, it was wired so he could listen to the other coaches' radio communications. And the thing is, they couldn't really determine whether the system was used or not, just that it was available. And he would have been able to listen to opponents from 2002 to 2004. The system was toast in 2005. That's because of the damage of Hurricane Katrina. The Saints trotted out a spokesperson to say, oh, that's 1,000% false. And Loomis explained that his use of an earpiece, he used one and described his game day setup in the Superdome to when he sent back something to ESPN and said that he had a monitor in front of him in the booth that has all the league stats that everybody gets, and he had a small television with him as well so that he could listen to the radio broadcasts just to keep an ear on what was happening there. But the U.S. attorney in New Orleans said that their office had been told about these allegations involving the Saints and possible wiretapping. So they're not discussing anything. They're not talking about it, just that they know about it. It's been talked about. So imagine this. You've got the commissioner who just suspended the head coach, Sean Payton, for the entire 2012 season because of the bounty nonsense. Now you have the GM who has kind of this murky thing hanging around, and he was suspended for the first half of the regular season, and the assistant head coach, Joe Veit, was suspended for 6 games, and the team lost its second-round pick in this week's NFL draft, and they were fined, $500,000. So they've had all these things happen to them, and now there's this thing about wiretapping. I hate to say this, but it's just not so far beyond our bounds of our imagination to think that the Saints could do something like that. And they can say the system was turned off, but do you believe them after everything else that's gone on in that organization? It's too bad, because there certainly have been some good players and some good people that certainly work for the Saints, and now they are very much tainted by all of this. Speaking of being tainted and absolutely falling in the bad boys column, John Edwards at one time was the fair-haired darling of the Democratic Party, running for vice president with John Kerry. He was on that undercard, and all his work with the poor and how he bootstrapped his way up in life and what he had done as a senator from North Carolina, only to end up blowing it when he ran for president in 2008, fooled around with some videographer who was supposedly making some kind of a documentary, and fathered, in fact, a child with her, denied all those things. It broke out in the trashy tabloids, and the rest is history. But the campaign funds, what were they used for? Because we do have these things called campaign finance reform laws, and he would be breaking the law, a federal law, if he dipped into the till of the money that was donated to him while he was running and used it for ill-begotten gains. What will happen in a court of law? As a trial lawyer, he decided to step into the courtroom to say he was innocent. Will he actually take the stand? That also remains to be seen. But a lot of people will be watching what's going on with John Edwards. He has 6 felony counts hanging over his head. If he is convicted, now that this whole thing is underway, he'll do some time. He could end up doing some pretty chunky time, too. By the time he gets out of prison, if they convict him, his kid, who's now a toddler from Ryle Hunter, could end up being a teenager at that point. So we'll see. Another bad boy in court for the second time around after a mistrial the first time is the former pitcher for a couple of teams, including the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Houston Astros, pitched for Toronto for a time, Roger Clemens. At one point, was definitely going to stroll into the Hall of Fame. Now, instead, he strolls in and out of courthouses trying to prove that he did not take any banned substances. Really, what this stems from is the fact that he went before Congress and said he did not do any of this, and other people refuted what he said, including the trainer who supposedly supplied it to him and his best buddy, Andy Pettit, who lived near him in Houston, pitched with him as when he was part of the Astros, and Pettit and he were teammates with the New York Yankees. So HGH is what we're talking about. It was a banned substance, and Roger Clemens in the soup for whether or not he lied to Congress. A lot of interesting lawyers on the other side of this. Might not be a mistrial this time around. To be sure, there are other bad boys that we could fling into this category. The list is about a mile long. We could easily say the Secret Service guys, but I am so tired of talking about the Secret Service guys. We know we have spent plenty of money already looking into this. What's interesting, I guess, if we wanted to do any kind of a follow-up on this, is who's in and who's out. We know the number is 12, and the White House said that they found no misconduct by the advance team, because what people want to know is how close to the president were these Secret Service guys who got caught with their pants down, so to speak, who were with prostitutes in that country, in Colombia, in Cartagena. The White House says that there was no inappropriate conduct as part of the Colombia prostitution scandal. They did an internal review because they were being cautious, they say. So the press secretary, Jay Carney, announced that they had the findings, and as the Pentagon is moving to suspend the security clearances for the service guys who have been implicated in the scandal, these others have been cleared. So the total number of service members implicated is 12. 12, 12. How about that? And not part of the White House staff, though, and that's what the White House wanted to make clear. These are no White House people. They are other people that are part of detail. So you have the Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, saying that the security clearances, in fact, were taken away, suspended for all the people involved, and that disciplinary action, would be announced on the military side. What would be the military? What would they do? Well, it's security is the issue here. Security is the issue. So Panetta is going to Colombia. He was talking to reporters, going to Colombia and other South American countries, but this was something that was already scheduled and it wasn't related to this prostitution scandal. But the military and Secret Service have been scrambling to figure out what happened in Cartagena, and Congress is launching their own investigation to demand to know more about whether any sensitive info could have been compromised. Let's put it this way. We have spent a whole bunch of money trying to get down to the bottom of what Secret Service guys did, what to whom, when, what was the timeline, and all that other stuff. By the time we're all said and done, I bet you it's close to $3 million or so money that has been squandered away on this huge scandal for the Secret Service. Bad boys, to be sure.